feeling a bit under the weather this morning, so you'll forgive the coughing. I'll try to cover up the microphone and try not to infect anybody. Father Darwin Kirby, 40 years rector of St. George's Church in Schenectady, a flagship Anglo-Catholic parish, used to say from time to time, "Be there, be brief, be gone." That sounds like the motto for the day. But not first without delving into the reading from Matthew's Gospel this morning, where yet again arises that great figure in salvation history, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a wily figure. We hear the explanation of how he dressed and what he ate. Could be something that you would find, you know, near the beach in San Diego. Leather girdle and locusts and wild honey and all that sort of thing. I mean that in the best of ways. But he was an interesting figure and a very important figure in salvation history. It's interesting that we hear of John the Baptist both in the what is known as the mini penitential season of Advent. Advent is a time of preparation, as opposed to the major penitential season, which is Lent. Both are seasons of preparation. Advent preparing for the nativity and incarnation, the celebration thereof, of our Lord, and also, and more importantly, for his second coming, which, as we mentioned last week, certainly will happen. And Lent, of course, being that time when we prepare heart, mind, and soul to celebrate Easter, of course, but not before we walk through Holy Week and the final days of our Lord's earthly ministry. And so John is this figure in both penitential seasons, Advent and Lent, that points us to the Lord, that points us to God. This morning, he is baptizing. Now you might say to yourself, is that baptism like we're familiar with? And the answer is no. You have to remember that those who he was baptizing were devout Jews. They had the Torah, they had the law. That is how they understood their salvation was going to take place, that God told them to do these things. They believed in a monotheistic deity. So they already had a grounding in God himself. But the baptism that John is baptizing with was a baptism of repentance, a baptism of letting go of sin, and turning over a new leaf. And so while they're all coming to him from Judea and Jerusalem, there come the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees did not take a liking to John because he was doing something out of the norm. He moved beyond the law and the prophets and those sort of things and actually talked about people's lives being changed and transformed in God. And so when John sees them coming, he uses that wonderful phrase, "You brood of vipers, who told you to flee before the wrath that is to come. Bear fruit that bears bear repentance that bears fruit." And so he's not saying they cannot be baptized, but he's saying, think about why you're doing this. If you're just doing this to do it, then don't do it. If you're doing it to truly turn over a new leaf and confess your sins and your shortcomings and your faults and your foibles, well and good. With that, God is pleased. But if you're just going through the motions, like he didn't say this, but probably like you do in the temple, you're probably not going to benefit too much from this. So it's easy to say, you know, I want to repent of my sins. I'm talking about all of us. That's an easy thing to do. It's easy to say, I am sorrowful for my sins. I'm sorrowful for those things I've done to offend my neighbors, and I'm sorrowful for those things that I've done or refused to do, or just omitted, because there are sins of commission, those things that we engage in, and there are sins of omission, those things that we fail to do. It's easy to say, I'm sorrowful for those sins of omission, commission, that I commit against my neighbor, and those things I have done, therefore, also to offend the Lord himself. It's another story, however, to turn over a new leaf, to actually leave what we want to let go of behind and move forward on a new path, to to move forward on a path from those things that perhaps are destructive or otherwise not good for us in any number of various and sundry ways, and to find a path that moves us forward to be in deeper relationship with God himself. My theology professor used to say, and perhaps you've heard me say this, but I'll say it again because I've always kept it in my head, and maybe you'll keep it in your head, that repentance is like making a U-turn. Repentance is like making a U-turn. You realize you're going down a road or down a path in life or in a relationship or whatever, and you realize that this is just not the thing to do. This is not what I should be doing in my life. And perhaps your conscience tweaks you, or you have this woke moment, to use, you know, a word in our culture today, or you have this awareness of, you know, the fact that something is just not right. And you call upon God to help you to address that and to change that. And you turn your life around. You start on a whole new path, moving away from those things that are harmful to those things that are holy, those things that are holy in the Lord. And that's what John was saying to the people that day. And that's what God calls us to do in Advent as we prepare for the way of the Lord and his return, and again, also to celebrate on, on December 25th, his nativity and his incarnation. And that sense of repentance, that sense of contrition, leads us into deeper relationship, not only with our neighbor. And who's our neighbor? No, it's not just the person sitting next to you in the pews, because we're all neighbors here, right? We all get along. This is a wonderful, happy family in God. And I mean that with all sincerity, it is. But what about the other neighbors? What about the people that differ from us, the people we don't agree with, the people that we have disagreement with? How about those? Well, they're our neighbors too. And we're called to be in right relationship with them as well. We're called to be reconciled not only to God, but to those around us in the world. And when we are, and when we are contrite, and when we repent, and I don't, again, just simply mean being sorrowful for those things that we have either done or refused or did not think to do, but when we move our lives in a different direction, when we walk humbly with our Lord, and when we realize it's only by walking humbly with our God that we can succeed in turning over that new life, then God is well pleased. And that is what Advent preparation is about. That's about preparing our hearts, minds, and soul to receive the Lord Jesus yet again. To receive him on the day of the Nativity and the Incarnation, of course, with great celebration. To receive him when he shall come with power and great glory, that we may, without shame or fear, rejoice to behold him, but also to receive him daily into our lives, daily into our being, daily into our hearts, so that that true repentance and amendment of life and the grace and consolation of the Holy Spirit that comes allows us to be closer to the Lord and closer to each other as well. And so when we hear what seems to be the harsh words of John the Baptist, "Repent, you brood of vipers, you know, bear fruit that's worthy of repentance," it's not a harsh message. It's a message of mercy. It's a message of goodness. It's a message of love, because John is calling us to deeper relationship with others and the Lord Jesus Christ. So in that sense, let us embrace that repentance as a way to move closer to the Lord Jesus Christ in this holy season of Advent and always as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.